The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Folks, welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, he has a jar of peanut butter, and he's not afraid to use it. Here comes Eric Metaxas.
Folks, welcome back. We are now in hour two of our program, and I want to say that, just to remind you, only on this program am I mentioning that we have a 25% discount, very limited seats available for Socrates and City on December 6th with Oz Guinness. I'm not going to put this out of my email, but while the supplies last, we have a limited number of seats thanks to a generous donor. If you use the code VIP25, again, as long as it lasts, it might be gone by the time you go there, but VIP25 for the Socrates and City event on December 6th with Oz Guinness. I am flipped out excited about having him as our guest. So we returned our conversation with Megan Basham. Megan, we're talking about Trump's return to Twitter. And again, he has not returned to Twitter. He's just been his account has been reinstated. So we can go back and read some of his absolutely hilarious, screamingly funny tweets. They're really so funny. And he doesn't get enough credit because people are so divided about him. But part of his appeal is just an unbelievable sense of humor. I saw it on display at the rally I went to in Latrobe, Pennsylvania. Anytime he talks, he says something, whether advertently or inadvertently, that is very, very funny. And some of his tweets are just killer.
Yeah, part of what really amused me all throughout the Trump presidency was watching, you know, rallies, statements he would make that were clearly intended to be jokes, and watching people sort of rending their garments over what could not have been more clearly intended to be funny. We spoke about David French in the previous segment, and he was sort of a key suspect of doing that. That was something that we saw all the time from David French, when he would take the words literally that were clearly intended to be comical. So
that's a hallmark of the left, it seems to me, because that happened to me many times in the last number of years, that I often speak tongue in cheek, or I'm speaking hyperbolically with at least some intentional comic effect. But then people quote it in such a way that, look what he said, look what he said. And that's what they did with Trump. It seems to have become a way that the left attacks people, or that they try to gaslight people into thinking that you're evil when you're actually trying to be arch or funny.
Well, and speaking of that, the other account that was let back on Twitter this week was a pretty big one. Actually, two really big accounts, one of those being the Babylon Bee. And part of what you've seen is, you know, when you take the Babylon Bee, you take one line, one headline, you don't show the pictures, you don't give some of the text. You know, they would show it to suggest that the Babylon Bee was somehow hateful, when in fact, of course, the Babylon Bee is hilarious. And the tweet that they got suspended for was calling Rachel Levine, who is actually Richard Levine. If you see a picture, it's quite amusing to think that Richard Levine, Health and Human Services Secretary, is a woman, because he's obviously a man. And so Babylon Bee had written this headline saying he was getting an award for Man of the Year, because all of these news outlets were falling over themselves to award this man honorifics as a woman, saying he's the first woman to have done this, he's the first woman to have done that. So it's pretty funny. And it is fascinating to me to watch the way that Elon Musk is changing the conversation by saying, no, these topics are up for debate, and we are allowed to discuss what is a woman. So suddenly people like the Babylon Bee, people like Jordan Peterson also was brought back on again. He was kicked off for falling afoul of trans activists. And now we have Trump back on. So what he is doing, really, you know, I have a lot of discussion with friends about this great man theory. How much can one individual placed in a leadership position transform a culture? I have high hopes that Elon Musk will do that on the social issues. I think we have certainly seen that Trump was able to accomplish some major differences in our nation, legislatively, politically, in just a few years. So I would like to see more people talking about this great man theory of Twitter and politics, Elon Musk, Donald Trump, because the way that the conversation is suddenly flowing again has been so encouraging to me.
Well, and you know, you say great man, but it's like they're really warriors. In others, you have to be kind of a crazy man in the positive sense, a warrior willing to go into battle with this madness. And it's, and look, let's be clear. You and I, you know, we're serious evangelical Christians. We differ with Donald Trump on all kinds of issues. We certainly differ with Elon Musk. I mean, Tesla is like paying for employees' abortions. Right. Elon Musk is posting memes that, you know, I think are untoward. You don't have to agree with me on everything, but the idea that these people are in the arena battling, there is something very healthy about that. And you sort of need a wild man to drain the swamp. I mean, the fact that you have Elon Musk going in and now operating with infinitely less employees, it was like a socialist utopia. It was like the post office, I guess. I don't know who was working or what they were doing. And suddenly he's trimmed it down. We need that to happen in government. If Trump were to get in, I assume that he understands now that the federal bureaucracy is so bloated that it's itself a socialist utopia at odds with the values of most Americans, with the Constitution. And you need a certain personality to battle against that, because it really has the cost that goes with it, a huge cost.
Right. That's absolutely right. And if you're not familiar with the great man theory, I would encourage your listeners to look it up, because it's not a question of, you know, do we support everything that this person believes by great? What it doesn't necessarily mean is morally great, though it can mean that. What it typically means is that they are transformational, disruptive figures. And what I see when I look at Donald Trump was that he was certainly that. And that's what we're seeing now in Elon Musk, is that suddenly these things that were starting to be taken for granted, these questions of speech that is hurtful, speech that offends, is justifiably censored or suppressed, suddenly he's blown open that conversation again in a way that people were still talking about, but people, you know, like me, who are much lower down the food chain socially, and we're not gaining traction. If you have somebody placed at that high level who is willing to be a disruptive figure, who is willing to break away from the established, respectable narrative, you can really transform how a culture looks at certain issues. And I think that is very much what we're seeing with Elon Musk on Twitter. And as I just said, we saw that with Donald Trump politically. Whether we will see it again remains to be seen.
I have to say that when I was writing my biography on Martin Luther, I noticed strange similarities between him and Trump, in the sense that there's this kind of wild quality where all of the folks around Luther, like Melanchthon, you know, the bookish scholar Melanchthon and others, are telling him, you need to tone it down. Don't say this, don't say that. And in many cases, of course, they were quite right. But there's something about the quality of a certain kind of person, a disruptor who seems to get some stuff done that no one else seems to have the will or the personality or whatever it is. And I find it ironic, or maybe not ironic, but apt, that what Luther had that made it possible for him to do this was the invention of the printing press. Suddenly he could go beyond the cultural elites, beyond the power elites, right to the people, virtually for nothing, because printing was so cheap. And I feel that with Twitter, something strangely similar happened, where Trump was able to just go over the heads of, you know, CBS or whoever it is and speak directly to people. And that is part of the magic, is that you have a technology that enabled some of these things to happen, for good or for ill.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's part of why it's been fascinating to see the media in particular be so upset about what's happening with Twitter. Because if you look at Twitter, it's not actually the largest social media platform. That would be Facebook. We see Instagram does better than Twitter, but it is the place where people go to have, I would say, the most vigorous public discussion of issues. And so I think there was a sense that, and that's, by the way, why you see so many media figures hanging around on that site. So I think there was a sense that they had a lockstep control over these platforms, and suddenly someone has broken free, and that makes everybody suddenly feel emboldened to go, I'm going to not just perfectly police my tone and restrain what I have to say either.
Well, Megan, so great to get you on here. We'll have you back again soon, folks. You can find Megan Basham at Daily Wire, and we'll be back with John Zmirak. Don't go away.
Comes a light, feelings lifting, lift that baby.
In case you haven't been paying attention, the Biden administration has caused a financial crisis, and they have no clue how to fix it. Oil prices have skyrocketed, and when oil prices go up, the cost of transportation and shipping spikes, leading the prices of goods to rise. And when we're already seeing record inflation, that's the last thing we need. Our economy is in trouble, and you need to take steps to protect yourself. If all your money is tied up in stocks, bonds, and traditional markets, you are vulnerable. Gold is one of the best ways to protect your retirement. No matter what happens, you own your gold. It is real. It is physical. It's always been valuable since the dawn of time. Legacy Precious Metals is the company I trust for investing in gold. They can help you roll your retirement account into a gold-backed IRA where you still own the physical gold. They can also ship gold and precious metals safely and securely to your house. Call Legacy at 866-528-1903 or visit them online at legacypminvestments.com.
It's hard to grasp why anyone would keep voting for record inflation, skyrocketing crime, and an open border. Likewise, why would anyone keep funding the left by sticking with the big carriers? Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless provider, and they want to make it easy for you to try their service. Give them 60 days to show you why I trust them. Right now, when you try Patriot Mobile for 2 months, get your third month free, plus get free activation. They offer nationwide coverage on the best 4G and 5G networks and use the same towers as all three of the major carriers. So you get the same great service while supporting a company that's fighting to preserve our God-given rights and freedoms. Just go to patriotmobile.com/Eric or call their 100% U.S.-based customer service team at 972-PATRIOT. If you're fed up with woke companies that don't care about your values, support a company that does. Make the switch today and get a free month of service plus free activation. PatriotMobile.com/Eric. That's PatriotMobile.com/Eric or call 972-PATRIOT.
Darker shame, darling, darker shame.
Folks, welcome back. Everywhere I go, and I've been many places. Recently, I was in Leesburg, Virginia. I was in Englewood, Colorado. I was in Fort Collins, Colorado. People in these wonderful book lines, inevitably someone will say, thank you so much for having on John. How do you say it? Every time. And it's so funny to me. John, how do you say it? Welcome to the program.
Hi, Eric. You know, no one in my life has ever pronounced my last name correctly, including my immediate family.
But well, I do. I pronounce your name correctly many times per week. And so I just find it funny that people still don't know that it's Zmirak, John Zmirak. But listen, since you are John Zmirak, and we've established that.
You're from Queens, where we grew up having to pronounce everyone's unpronounceable foreign last name.
Right. I'm always shocked when a flight attendant or someone gets it correct, like Metaxas. And I go, yes, exactly.
It's so obviously phonetic. No, how else would you say it?
Not everyone processes things logically. They just see the X and they get all googly eyed.
Is this an X-rated name?
Yeah, it's very difficult.
You should change it.
Means that I multiply the first part by the second part, and what would that sound like?
You know what? If you ever lose your faith, you need to make it three X's and just have a whole new career.
Okay, so Mr. Zmirak,
you're never going to get that out of your brain now.
His work can be found at
stream.org.
John, what should we talk about?
Well, election I've got a abuses. Nice. What?
Election abuses. What would you like to talk
about? I've got a nice piece coming out just before Thanksgiving for stream readers. It's conversational gambits to placate your doomed woke kin.
Don't tell me that's the title, the mellifluous catchy title.
Yes. Titles have to explain everything. You can't do clever titles anymore. Titles
conversational have gambits
to placate your doomed woke kin.
To placate your doomed woke kin. Okay, so
it's about,
all right, wise guy,
Thanksgiving table.
Yes. Yeah, so give us some ideas. Some conversational gambits you refer to in this article.
Like, let's say a member of your family is a self-righteous vegan, like a moralistic vegan, someone who if they see somebody else eating a burger, will start talking to them about factory farms, right? And of course, 99.9% of people who are self-righteous vegans are also pro-choice. They want to protect and give rights to every creature on earth, except the mysterious creature, we don't know what it is, that lives in a mother's womb for 9 months before it magically turns into a baby by going through the miraculous birth canal.
John, I got to tell you something. A lot of people might be freaked out to hear this, but I know for a fact, and this is just because of family records, that I was once one of those mysterious creatures. I know I'm rare, but the fact is that I was once one of those mysterious creatures that many people wish it were legal to be able to murder.
And you magically
throw that in because people know that about me, that I was once one of those mysterious inchoate lumps.
You magically transformed from an inchoate blob of protoplasm into a human being by going through the magic birth canal.
And that was hospital as you went through the magic birth canal. This is in the 1960s in Astoria, Queens. Isn't it amazing, John?
This is
you
the
and
science.
I somehow were magically transformed like lead into gold through some alchemical process from nothing into sacred human beings. Please continue.
So if you have a family member, or let's say an in-law or someone unwisely married who is one of these self-righteous vegans who thinks that frogs have rights but unborn babies don't, what are you going to do? You have to feed this person, right? Feeding the hungry, that's in the New Testament. You can't just not feed them. But if you give them an elaborate vegan meal, you're empowering them and you're encouraging them to think, this is an opportunity. I have a captive audience. Let me evangelize everyone here on the evils of how turkeys are factory farmed and how the broccoli you're eating was grown with pesticides, which is causing environmental devastation, which is why we need to stop having children. And then this person starts looking angrily at everybody every member of the family who has more than 1.2 children. So what do you do with such a person? And I have an idea. And at first, you're kind of playing a trick on your own mind, okay? You're not thinking of this as someone who's philosophically ridiculous, someone who has beliefs that make you angry. You're not focusing on these negative things. You're imagining this is not some inconsistent, self-righteous pro-choicer. This is a picky three-year-old. What do you do when you have a three-year-old's a picky eater? You make a little dinosaur nuggets. So what I suggest you do is you get these tofu patties or seitan, whatever vegan patties are out there. You fry them up and you cut them into dinosaur nuggets. And I offer a link to a dinosaur cookie cutter. So you make little dinosaur tofu nuggets and you put them on leaves of kale and you have little butter lettuce cups with different dipping sauces. And you provide this person with a delicious tofu meal.
John, did the butter lettuce suffer when it was butchered? I just want to be clear.
It screamed silently, but it was organic, so it was okay. Okay.
You don't think people could be triggered because it would imply that they're eating a dinosaur, which would be very cruel to the dinosaur?
It would be, even though it's been dead for millions of years. So as this, my idea is, if this 40-year-old adult, maybe with tenure, is eating dinosaur-shaped tofu nuggets, he won't feel empowered to preach about his ethical views to a table full of people who are eating regular food. He'll probably just be kind of quiet and mellow and reflective. And that kind of reflection it can only be good.
Oh, you're a sick person. And that's what I love about you, John. But I want to be very clear. I feel like I have to say this every now and again, just to be clear with people, right? Jesus ate fish. Jesus ate honey. Jesus ate lamb. Jesus ate red meat. So I want to be clear that I believe he was perfect and sinless. So this doesn't mean you have to eat meat. It doesn't mean you have to eat fish. But do keep in mind that Jesus, whom some of us crazy people worship as God, and who was perfect and sinless, he ate red meat at the Passover, as is commanded. He ate fish. He ate honey. So we need to at least remind ourselves that you can't outdo Jesus morally. If you have a problem with factory farming or that kind of thing, I get that. Like, I care. Believe me, folks, I care about that kind of thing. And it's one thing to talk about that, but I don't think you can make, if you're a Christian, you can't make a moral issue out of the concept of eating meat or fish. Anyway, sorry, go ahead.
No, I agree completely. Look, I rescue dogs. So I'm very, and I try not to buy meat unless it's what they call happy meat, where the animal has lived a good life. And I'm all for that. There's a brand called Nyman Ranch that they produce happy pork, and I'm all for that. But I'm just offering ideas. And really, I was just writing a humor column to prepare for Thanksgiving, and I have some other ideas. How much time do we have before the next break?
Go ahead.
Okay, fine. What if you have a family member who did something shocking and horrifying but sadly common, someone who went and lived in California and came back having adopted the official state religion of Gaia worship? And this person brings back her religious beliefs to you. How do you deal with that at Thanksgiving?
Okay, how do you deal with that at Thanksgiving? A Gaia worshiping former Californian comes to the table.
That's
now
right.
What?
Yeah, well, it's tempting to argue, okay? It's tempting to get in a fight about like the 2020 election or Donald Trump or gun rights, but I recommend a different technique, one which psychologist Carl Rogers developed for dealing with particularly intransigent delusional patients in state mental hospitals in the late 1950s. It's called Rogerian listening, where someone says something, and rather than engage it, you affirm that you heard it, and you check it back with them, and you say, okay, I hear you saying that Orange Man is bad. And they say, yes, I said Orange Man is bad. Okay. So you basically, you do the Rogerian affirmation thing, but each time you exaggerate it.
Okay, now wait a second. This sounds like it's going to get complex and very funny. We're going to go to a break, folks. We are talking to John. I don't know how to pronounce his name. I think it might be Zmirak. Don't go away. Tell me, Eric, why is Relief Factor so successful at lowering or eliminating pain? I'm often asked that question. The owners of Relief Factor tell me they believe our bodies were designed to heal. That's right, designed to heal, and I agree with them. So the doctors who formulated Relief Factor for them selected the four best ingredients, yes, 100% drug-free ingredients. Each helps your body deal with inflammation. Each of the four ingredients deals with inflammation from a different metabolic pathway. And that right there, approaching from four different angles, may be why so many people find such wonderful relief. So if you've got back pain, shoulder, neck, hip, knee, or foot pain from exercise or just getting older, you should order the 3-week quick start discounted to only $19.95 to see if it will work for you. It works for me. It has for about 70% of the 500,000 people who've tried it and have ordered more. Go to relieffactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF to find out about this offer. Feel the difference. Welcome back, talking to John Zmirak. John Zmirak, you're a cruel person, and I like that about you. You've written a piece at the Stream called Conversational Gambits to Placate Your Doomed Woke Kin at Thanksgiving, presumably. Okay, so you're talking about using this Carl Rogers of affirming their statements. You're saying Orange Man bad, correct?
Right. Go ahead. I hear you saying that election deniers should be imprisoned. I hear you saying that private firearms should all be confiscated. You just repeat back to the president. You make sure that you accurately heard what they said. But, and here's where I think it can be fun, you make it a little crazier. So if the person says, I think election deniers and climate deniers are unfit parents, you say, I hear you saying that election deniers and climate deniers are unfit parents and should be sterilized by the government. And your family member from California will probably say, yeah, that's what I said. And what you do is every crazy thing this person says, you repeat it back to them, made 33.3% crazier. And by the end, this person will not be angry. They will go home feeling affirmed, feeling that they've been listened to, feeling that actually you had a lot of creative input to offer to their worldview. But everyone else at the table will hear this person completely discredit themselves by endorsing the nuttiest crap imaginable, which you have put into their mouth.
John,
everybody wins.
You're plum loco, and that's my favorite thing about you. So people can read this at stream.org, Conversational Gambits to Placate Your Doomed Woke Kin at Thanksgiving. Are there other things you want to talk about?
Before you go, I want to
touch on the film Amsterdam, but go ahead, sure. Whatever you want to talk
there's
about.
There's one more conversation.
This is what if things are a little,
in the story, I do talk about a previous incident from back in the late 90s or early 2000s. An example, this was back when I was honing my ability as the great diplomat. You know, everyone thinks of me as Henry Kissinger, Clemens Metternich. I am the great diplomat. People can get into arguments. And when I'm done talking, they usually are just silent. You can hear them breathing. And I feel like I've kind of created a kind of Antarctic wasteland of peace and mellowness and reflectiveness. And I'll give you an example of it. I was at a cocktail party held by Pfizer. This was back when Pfizer was considered conservative, when they were sponsoring conservative cocktail parties in Manhattan. Do you remember? It was called the Fabiani Society.
I am shocked that this is true, but go ahead.
Back before Pfizer was part of the global conspiracy to force the dead baby vaccine on us, it actually was kind of sympathetic to conservatives. And I was there. There was one very loudly gay libertarian who I knew from Yale because he was an alum, and he would show up at our alumni events and make really aggressive gay statements to me because he heard I was Catholic. And he thought, you know, that would make me go to the girls' room and cry or something. Well, this guy was there. Then there was Ramesh Panuru from National Review, who at the time was sort of in his religious quest. And so I get stuck talking to them. Ramesh says, well, you know, I've been flirting with becoming a Catholic and flirting with becoming a Baptist, but I just haven't made up my mind. And at this, the gay guy says, well, sweetie, you just make sure it stays a flirtation. You don't go all the way with any of those nasty old religions.
Now, are you sure these people won't have a problem with you repeating this?
This was published like 15 years ago.
Okay.
This is the cue for everybody to laugh at religion and sort of nervously move on with the conversation. But they weren't counting on me. I turn to Ramesh and I say, Ramesh, actually, I think you should have anonymous encounters with hundreds of strange religions in public restrooms.
That's funny and sick.
They ran sick. Off as if I had pulled the pin on a grenade.
That's
job done,
sick, John. That's
drop the mic.
I don't know that I can recommend that, but it's the fact that you did that 15 years ago sounds about right.
When somebody's actually making fun, not of you, not of your political party, but of the gospel itself, of Christianity, I don't know. I think it's merited. I, I he,
You know what I find fascinating is that I never know where people are coming from. Like when somebody says something like that, are they just being funny or do they really mean don't take God seriously? I mean, I don't know the person. When you say it's a libertarian, I kind of assume
he's a libertarian who's
not taking God very seriously.
Regularly would make anti-Christian remarks to me. So I feel that
can only go so far with John Podorek, like, folks. You better watch it.
I feel like I had not prepared this witticism. It just jumped into my head. So I think it was the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit gives me really nasty comebacks. He works differently with different people. And with me, he gives me really nasty, bitter, biting comebacks. Some of which
I wouldn't describe it as nasty. It's harsh, but not nasty. I don't think the Holy Spirit is capable of nastiness.
Right. So
I
think it was
harshness because Jesus said some heavy things that were kind of like mic drop, mind blowing. Uh-oh, who's this guy?
You are your father, the devil, who was a liar from the beginning.
Yes.
Which is another good comeback. I've not used that one.
A little non-winsome. Okay, folks, before we come back with more John Zmirak, let me remind you, we got an email today from the Nutramedic folks, 35% off. Only the rest of this month. So that's like 9 or 10 days, 35% off if you use the code Eric, NutriMedics.com, 35% off if you use the code Eric. We'll be right back with John Zmirak. With the overturn of Roe v. Wade, lots of companies are coming out saying they'll pay for employee abortion travel and expenses. Most of you have heard about some of these companies. You've decided to stop shopping or doing business there. But did you know that you most likely own stock in those companies through your 401ks, IRAs, and other investment accounts? Folks, this is a huge problem, and we need to do something about this to send a message to Wall Street through our investments. You need to go to InspireAdvisors.com/Eric and get a free Inspire Impact Report. This biblical investment analysis will educate you on what's really in your investment accounts, like companies paying for abortion travel. You need to go to InspireAdvisors.com/Eric to connect with an Inspire Advisors financial professional who can run your report and help remove companies paying for abortion travel today. Go to InspireAdvisors.com/Eric. That's InspireAdvisors.com/Eric. Advisory services are offered through Inspire Advisors LLC, a registered investment advisor with the SEC. Hey, folks, you've all helped build MyPillow into the incredible company it is today. Now, Mike Lindell, inventor and CEO of MyPillow, wants to give back to you, my listeners. So right now, MyPillow is offering exclusive offers on their bed sheets, their six-piece towel set, and even offering an extended 60-day money-back guarantee. Orders placed now through December 25th will have an extended money-back guarantee through March 1st. The bed sheets are marked down as low as $29.98. Believe me when I say you'll get a great night's sleep. Their six-piece towel set is made with USA cotton. It comes with two bath towels, two hand towels, and two washcloths. Typically retails at $89.98, now just $39.98 with promo code Eric. Limited supply, so be sure to order now. Call 1-800-978-3057, 1-800-978-3057. Use promo code Eric or go to MyPillow.com. Click on the radio listener square. Use promo code Eric. These offers will not last long. They're known to sell quickly, so order now with promo code Eric at MyPillow.com. MyPillow.com, promo code Eric. Folks, welcome back. Talking to John, I don't know how you pronounce it. I think it might be Zmirak. Zmirak. John Zmirak, what other kooky, destructive ideas do you have to do, to share at the Thanksgiving table?
And again, the goal is to prevent a loud, heated argument and replace that with a nice glacial silence of the kind that my mother was very good at, being Irish. She could not talk to you for 2 or 3 days at a time. And that silence spoke more than many, many words. So far I've talked about like funny things that you know you could sort of laugh off. But what if something seriously bad? Like, let's say a member of your family is into the occult and wants to talk about that at the Thanksgiving dinner table. How she goes to a shaman, she channels spirits, Let's say she whips out a Ouija board and says, why don't we summon grandma? Aren't you curious about the afterlife? I brought a Ouija board. Let's do a Ouija board. Won't that be a fun family activity? How do you deal with something like that? Well, you just can't be playful with it. You can't just be sarcastic about it. This is something, you know, someone is venturing into dangerous spiritual waters. Well, I have a suggestion in my column at stream.org. I say you maintain a kind of winsome, happy, welcoming smile, and you walk over to the person and you say, you're such an original. And you give them a little hug while you sprinkle them with the holy water and recite the prayers of exorcism. And I offer a little link to the exorcism prayers that you would use for someone who might be demonically possessed. Or if, you know, say you're evangelical Pentecostal, you lay hands on them and smile with a smile. You rebuke Satan and all the evil spirits that this person has brought into the house. And then you give them a little knock in the elbow, and when they're gone, you can then read the full exorcism prayers and go around the entire house with holy water, driving out whatever demons they have brought with them.
Well, I gotta tell you, there are probably people listening right now who don't realize how unbelievably dangerous it is to flirt with the occult. Folks, you have no idea what you're playing with. Even getting involved in yoga, I mean, but that's kind of a mild version. Nonetheless, this is dangerous, dangerous stuff. And you do not want to let this stuff into your life. So
it's like licking, I've got to say that. It's like licking the seats on a Greyhound bus. It's like licking doorknobs on public bathrooms. You are opening yourself up to infection by something infinitely more dangerous than any virus, any bacterium that is on the face of the earth. You're opening wide the gates. Hey, everybody, here's my PIN code. Hey, everybody, here's the password to my bank account and to my computer. Only you're not endangering earthly things. Yeah. You're endangering your eternal soul.
Oh, no, it's horrifying stuff. We'll be talking. We haven't had my friend Ken Fish on this program for quite some time. We got to get him back on to talk about this stuff, but it's so real. We don't have a ton of time with you. Are we going to talk about election abuses?
Sure. I've got a little piece up at the stream about the fact that the Arizona election is not settled. You know, Carrie Lake, there's still hope that Carrie Lake will end up governor of Arizona, because we see that the Democrats intentionally disenfranchised conservative voters. They were huge, huge problems with voting machines in conservative Republican districts, and they refused to extend the time for the polls. People are waiting 7 hours to vote. When this happens to liberals, it's called voter suppression, and the people call in the Voting Rights Act. But when it happens to conservatives, you're just supposed to shut up. And if you say anything about it, you are an election denier. And that word, that phrase was crafted very carefully, election denier. It's meant to evoke Holocaust denier. This is a sleazy, manipulative tactic. Inventing this term was a way of equating your fellow Americans who criticize voting practices, equating them with neo-Nazis. It's disgusting, and it's typical of the left.
Everywhere I go, people say, well, how can we possibly survive with all this fraud and so on going on? Carrie Lake is such a fighter. I really do hope that she and my friend Charlie Kirk will push for clarity and that she will not concede, because it does seem openly nefarious. It doesn't seem like, well, there's no way to prove it. It seems like in a number of cases, but particularly in Arizona, Maricopa County, that they're going to be in big trouble, because they actually did try to suppress the votes of Americans. It's amazing.
But the way the media is treating it now, if you raise any questions about any election, you're a conspiracy theorist, you're dangerous, you want to come in insurrection. So what have they done? They have said it's okay to steal. It's okay to cheat on elections forever. Because anyone who says anything about it from the right is a conspiracy theorist who should be driven off the internet, fired from his job, and investigated by the FBI. What a coup. If they get away with this, they have permission to steal every election for the rest of American history. And we're not allowed to talk about it, because if we do, we're like the guy with the Viking helmet in the House of Representatives, who, by the way, I thought that was hilarious.
I actually did too, but humor is not permitted in the Marxist state. It really is kind of interesting, isn't it? Like that anything arch, humorous, whatever, they don't have the ability to comprehend it. It's really like the Chinese cultural revolution of the 60s. It is deeply wicked, anti-human, anti-humor.
You see why Saturday Night Live is not the least bit funny. It's now like one of those 1950s hygiene films about avoiding venereal disease. Only those are unintentionally funny. Saturday Night Live is not even unintentionally funny. It's just sad.
Right. You write about election abuses at stream.org. Did you write also about how Ted Cruz accused McConnell of, we've got to take that turtle and put him on a fence post someplace where he can do no more trouble. That is actually the photo that I have on my Twitter now, is of a turtle on a fence post, just because I think it's important that he be retired where, you know, and he's not going to do that to himself because a turtle can't climb up a fence post. So we're going to have to do it. I don't know how that's going to happen. Well, we just got 20 seconds left and then we'll be back. Final comment.
Rhinos are worse than left-wing Democrats. Rhinos are the real and ultimate enemy because they're trying to take our own party away from us.
And that's a fact. All right, folks, going to a break. I want to remind you, Nutramedics, only this month, November, the last 9 days we have left, whatever it is, 35% off if you use the code ERIC. That's a very special thing. They gave that to us this morning. Please take advantage of it. 35% off. We'll be right back with John Zmierak.
I never noticed them until I got this feeling that it's later than it seems. Doctor, my eyes, tell me what you see.
Hey there, folks, welcome back. Quick reminder for radio listeners only, we're not putting this out publicly on social media or in my email, but if you're able to come to the Socrates event on December 6th with Oz Guinness, if you use the code VIP25, you can get 25% off. A very generous donor just let us do that. It's for a limited number of tickets, but if you get in there, and again, we're not sharing this via email or anything like that, VIP25 for radio listeners only, Socrates in the City, December 6th with Oz Guinness. Okay, John, last night, I've been watching The Crown. Have you been watching The Crown?
Oh, I watched that. I watched it up through the Lady Diana part. Yeah, I've watched most of it.
So you've watched the new season, season 5?
No, I have not seen season 5.
Is now out with Imelda Staunton as the queen. Imelda Staunton, who's a great actress, does a particularly great job. It is really a little bit astonishing to watch her in the role. And I have to say, nothing's perfect, but The Crown, unfortunately, it's on Netflix. But I got to tell you, the fact that somebody has produced 5 seasons, I'm guessing there's going to be a 6th, it is just extremely well done. It is so well done. But if you haven't seen season 5, we binge watched it recently. And then when the 10th episode was over, I thought, now what? Well, I thought, I got an idea. Let's see if John Zmierak's recommendation, Amsterdam, is available. So last night we watched the film that you keep talking about called Amsterdam. I didn't love it. I couldn't really recommend it, but I liked it. And I like everything you said about it, it was true. There's a lot that's good in it. But it is hilarious to me that here you have a guy like Robert De Niro who's screaming F Trump, you know, from public microphones in a film. The people who made the film, by the way, it was a box office bomb. It made, I think, $30 million. And I think it costs $150 million. Really crazy. But it seems to try to imply, like to make a parallel, that there's going to be a coup, you know, to install Trump as dictator. That's
God, that's so stupid. It didn't even occur to me watching the movie. Stupid.
It's so obvious that what they're saying is we've got to preserve democracy and the Constitution. You hear this is Robert De Niro saying this. I mean, it might as well be, you know, Rob Reiner or Bette Midler. They actually are so turned around that they believe Donald Trump is a threat to democracy. It's all very clear to them that January 6th was an insurrection and we can't let him back on Twitter. And it's so obvious. And I want to be clear, folks, they really believe this. So it's one thing you know, to disagree with them. But you have to understand they actually believe that. So they make this film Amsterdam. And at the end, it's kind of obvious that's what they're trying to say. And I thought, it's so sad because they really somehow believe that they're a bunch of Americans who hate the Constitution. Most of the people who voted for Trump are not only familiar with the Constitution, but love the Constitution. But it is so funny to me. At the end of the movie, it goes kind of off in that bizarre direction.
Well, the thing is, the movie, the real villain of the movie is Planned Parenthood, though the filmmakers don't know it. And there are people in America who hate the Constitution and want to get rid of democracy, but they are the left. What the left is, whenever the left accuses us of something, they are engaged in psychological projection. And you know that's what they intend to do because it's spilling out. So when they say, you want to take away freedom of speech, they're the ones censoring the internet. They're the ones saying that epidemiologists can't express their opinion on COVID if it doesn't agree with the World Health Organization and some 22-year-old at YouTube. They're the ones taking away doctors' medical licenses. They're the ones kicking people off Twitter and Facebook and YouTube.
Because they literally think Adolf Hitler has been resurrected and you and I and others are trying to help him to destroy America. The irony is painful. Thank goodness we're out of time. John Zmirak, thank you for being our guest.
Thank you. Happy Thanksgiving.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never before seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to salemnow.com. Salemnow.com.